This morning we are going to be in 2 Samuel chapter 6. So if you want to turn there. We've been going through 1 Samuel on our Wednesday night Bible studies, and are just, you know, God has shown me so much through Saul's mistakes, David's faith, and then David's mistakes. And this past week I began to read over into 2 Samuel, and this passage that we're going to go through this morning, I think, is something that I know I need. I know, I'm going to just say this, we all need it. Whether we want to admit it or not, every one of us need it. And so I feel very strongly this morning that this is where we need to be. I saw a post yesterday, and I think it originally started out as, if you're a pastor and you're not talking about the revival that's in Kentucky tomorrow morning in your sermon, then you need to question your calling. But then when you scroll down, it said, I'm just kidding, you just go proclaim God's word the way you're supposed to. And we've all heard, if you paid any attention on the news, God is moving in Kentucky at a university down there. They've just surrendered themselves to God, and He is moving and doing great things. And that really didn't have anything to do with this, because I read that after this passage. But when I read that, and then this passage, and then that story, which has been going on for a while, I really got convicted. I really got convicted over just the presence of God. And so just kind of a background of this passage. At the beginning of 6, the Ark was not in Jerusalem yet, the Ark of the Covenant, which signified God's presence in the Old Testament. He had to make the Ark, and it had a mercy seat on top of it, and the presence of God would dwell on the Ark of the Covenant. And so David decides, hey, we're going to bring the Ark back to Jerusalem. And so they start to bring the Ark back to Jerusalem, and they're, with every good intention, this man named Uzzah, as they're pulling the ark on a cart, and the ox stumbles, he reaches out to stabilize it, and he touches the ark and he dies. Because he had good intentions, but he was not doing what God called him to do. Man, if we just looked at our country and we took that phrase right there and said, man, everybody has good intentions, but they're not doing what God's called them to do. And I thought, well, maybe that's where I'm supposed to be. And I began to focus on that. And then as I kept reading, I get to where David gets scared, and he doesn't know what to do. He's scared. He's kind of a little bit angry. And he doesn't go ahead and bring the ark all the way back to Jerusalem at that time. He leaves it at the house of Obed-Edom. Now, I don't know who named that person that, or that house, but that's the coolest name, I think. Or at least it's fun for me to say. But David left the ark at the house of Obed-Edom, and he went back home. His whole intention originally was to bring the ark, bring the presence of God back to Jerusalem. And because something happened that didn't go the way he thought it should, he didn't bring God's presence back to Jerusalem. And then he finds out, as we read, we're going to start reading in verse 12, so if you'd read with me. It said, now it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. And so it was, when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he stopped. He sacrificed oxen and fattened calves, fattened sheep. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Now as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. So they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had finished offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Then he distributed among all the people, among the whole multitude of Israel, both women and men, to every one, a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. Then David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of maids of his servants, as one of the base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself." So David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house to appoint me ruler over his people of the Lord over Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord, and I will be even more undignified than this, and will be humble in my own sight. But as for the maid servants of whom you have spoken, by them I will be held in honor." Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we lift up your word today, and we pray that your spirit would move. Lord, we need to hear from you. We need a touch from you. Lord, you deserve glory and honor from us. Lord, I lift this time to you and pray that you would speak to us. Change our hearts. Change our lives. Change our attitudes. With only your touch. In your name I pray. Amen. Like I said, we got this house of Obed-Edom, and I'm probably going to say that a lot because I like to. But what happens there? They didn't really desire the ark, but the presence of God was there, and because of the presence of God, there is blessings. Understand that, because that's going to be huge throughout this message. Where the presence of God is, there is blessings. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not blessings other places, but when the presence of God is there, there is going to be blessings. That is a blessing in itself. But the house of Obed-Edom, everything that they did, all that they had, everything that belongs to them, was blessed because the ark of God was there. God moved in such a way in this little town that the word got back to David and people told him, "Man, God is blessing that place because his presence is there. God is blessing that place because his presence is there." There was probably another town just down the road. I don't know the name of it. Doesn't matter. But word never got from that town back to David and said, "Hey, the Lord's blessing us in this town." No, that was never mentioned. Because God's presence was where the ark was at. That's the way it worked in the Old Testament. That was his mercy seat, his dwelling place. I want you to stop and think. You and I have blessings in our life every day just because God is a God that desires to bless his children, desires to bless people. We are blessed every single day. So where are you going with this? Let me tell you. David wanted the blessings. He wanted the presence of God in the city of David. So I'm going to ask you this question. I'm going to ask several questions today. Do you want the blessings of God? I mean, that sounds like a really simple question. It sounds like almost a ridiculous question. If you came to church, of course we want blessings. I'm going to tell you this, and I'm not trying to be rude, I'm not trying to be mean, but there are people that walk into this place every single Sunday that walk out without the blessings of God. David went specifically to the town of Obed-Edom for the purpose of getting the ark, for the purpose of being in the presence of God. if you come here to hear me, if you come here because of somebody else that's here, if you come here because you're just looking for a church to go to, you're going to leave the same way you came. But you're going to lose an hour of your life. But if you came here to seek the presence of God, it doesn't have anything to do with the man standing here. It doesn't have anything to do with the person sitting beside you. If you seek the presence of God, He will be found by you. That's what He promises. David went to Obed-Edom and he brought the ark back. So many times we come and we do not desire to take it back. It would not have made any sense if David went to this town and he knelt down and he worshiped. And then he got up and he went back to Jerusalem and left it there. This building, we know, is a blessing from God that He's given us, and we dwell here as His children. We come here to celebrate and to worship Him. But it's a building. I want you to understand that we need to take Him back home. Don't come here just to visit Him. David didn't just go visit Obed-Edom every time he wanted to see God. He went and he took the presence of God back to his home. I would probably venture to say that everybody in this place has a family relative that does not know Jesus. Or maybe they know Jesus, but they're not where they're supposed to be. They don't have that close walk. They don't have that desire to spend time with Him every day. And I'm not saying anything bad about them, and I'm not saying anything bad about us. But maybe if I took the presence of God with me every day, then maybe they would see it in me. That's where we're at. David went to Obed-Edom with the purpose of bringing the ark back to Jerusalem. When you come here, come with a purpose to take whatever God gives you. It may be somebody gives you a handshake out front and says something. Take it back if that's what God gives you. If it's in a song, if it's something that's read out of His Word, if it's what God gives you, I'm going to lose my voice. Take it back. Let it affect the people around you. He went to Obed-Edom with a purpose to bring that ark back. And then look what he does. It says, when he got there, he went to the city of David with gladness. He was going to bring it to the city of David with gladness. And so it was, when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone six paces, he sacrificed. He stopped. I mean, it wasn't just enough that he's going to get it and bring it back. Man, when he was in the presence, I'm not going to wait and get it back home before I start celebrating, before I start worshiping. He didn't even take seven steps before he wanted to stop and worship God. He was so excited about being in the presence of God that he stopped and sacrificed. It wasn't enough. It says that David danced before the Lord with all his might. How long has it been since the presence of God took you over and you worshiped Him with all your might? Answer that question in your head. Man, David is the king. He is the God's chosen, God's anointed, and he's out in the middle of the street. He's not in the tabernacle. He's not in his home. He's not in his church. He is out on the street bringing the presence of God back home with him, and he is in the presence of God, and he begins to celebrate with all his might. Maybe that's why we don't see a lot of blessings, is because we don't do a lot of praising. We don't spend a lot of time in God's presence. And when I say in God's presence, I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about you or me or anybody else standing, kneeling, lying, whatever, in the presence of God, no matter who's around you. That's what we're talking about. Because we don't see God move because we don't expect God to move. We don't expect God to move because we don't surrender to His presence. Well, that would be undignified if I was to to be doing cartwheels down South Street praising God. Okay, the pastor at the Baptist church has lost it. Man, I would love it if somebody would say that for the right reason. But what we have to understand is David, with all his might, was not willing to take seven steps before he would worship and before he would praise and before he would dance before the Lord, because that's what God's presence meant to him. What does God's presence mean to you? How long has it been since He's moved you? How long has it been since He's moved me in such a way that, man, when I'm done, I'm wore out? I've just given Him everything. I just surrendered. That's what I want. I got ready to preach this sermon. I studied it and I read through, you know, six or seven commentaries, and I've walked around and I've prayed about it. And all I could get was, God, I can't preach this message because I'm guilty of not doing it. And I was not going to be able to preach this message because I was guilty of not taking it home with me sometimes, of not letting it overwhelm me and take me, just the fact that, realize you are in the presence of the Almighty Creator of this universe, and He loves you enough to send His Son to die for you. He wants a relationship with you, and you walk through the day thinking things are about you. He needs to flow through us and overflow from us with His presence to be excited enough to worship publicly. It's hard enough for some of us to worship in here. Goes on, it says that after David danced, it says, so David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark with shouting and with the sound of a trumpet. Man, they wanted everybody to know, we are coming and we have the presence of God with us. We have the Ark of the Covenant with us. They're blowing trumpets. They're shouting. I don't care if I'm disturbing you. I want you to know that the presence of God is here. And they shouted and they blew trumpets and they celebrated so that everyone would know our God is here. It's been a long time since I've blown a trumpet proclaiming God. Yeah, in here, in situations where it's a controlled environment, we do that. But man, they're walking down the street. They're walking into Jerusalem, and they are shouting and sounding trumpets. They are proclaiming the presence of God is real, and it's coming. Man, would that not be awesome to see a picture on the front of the newspaper, to see people walking down South Street praising God and proclaiming that the Spirit of God is real and He is here? Well, people would think we were nuts. We would have to totally surrender to God. But I think when it says, if you make Him the Lord of your life, you do totally surrender to Him. They proclaimed with trumpets that the presence of God was coming. Now, I can go and I can tell Debbie, Jesus Christ is coming back. Debbie knows that. I need to proclaim it to people that don't know. They weren't blowing the trumpets for the people that were walking beside them and behind them. They were proclaiming to the people that were out there, those people that didn't care or didn't know to go to Obed-Edom to get the ark. We need to go tell the people that don't know or the people that don't care. Hope this is getting uncomfortable with you, because it is getting really uncomfortable for me. Because we need to make sure that we are experience in the presence of God. Do we want to be in the presence of God? Are we excited about it? Are we proclaiming it? Then he says, we know that Michael, it tells us, is Saul's daughter, but it's also David's wife. And she looks out the window and she sees him praising God. She despised him in her heart. If you let the presence of God control you, you're going to offend some people. Well, we don't want to do that, especially nowadays. Man, you do anything, you offend people. Too bad. It is what it is. If the presence of God is moving, then it's going to offend one person, one spirit for sure. And he's going to do everything he can to get you to stop. He struck close to home. He went to David's wife. David's wife was offended because David was praising God. You may have family members that are going to get offended because you're standing up for the Word of God, because you're experiencing the presence of God and He's changing who you are. Good. Because the reason they're offended is because they're convicted. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with the fact that God is changing you and He's not changing them, because they don't want that. Michael was offended. I don't set out every week to offend people. And that's not what David did. But man, when he turned loose and let go and let God, it offended people. So are you worried more about offending people or offending God? Because He's called you and me to stand for Him, to speak for Him. And that's two things that are going to come if I spend time in His presence. David wasn't trying to offend her. He wasn't trying to make people happy. He didn't go to Obed-Edom just to bring this back so that everybody say, oh, what a great king. Look what he's done. He's brought the ark back to Jerusalem. He brought the ark back so he could experience the presence of God. And whatever falls down from there falls down. What you and I have to do is experience the presence of God and let the chips fall where they may. Some will be praised, some will glorify, and others will be offended. That cannot stop us. She despised him in her heart. It wasn't like she was just a little offended. She despised her husband in her heart. But what happened? So they brought the ark. But he didn't stop. Oh, my wife's upset. I can't do this, guys. I'm going to have to leave this here on the roadside. No. So they brought the ark of the Lord, and get this, and he set it in its place. He set the Ark of the Covenant, or the presence of God, in its place in the tabernacle. The Bible tells me that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, in the Old Testament, God would dwell with them in this place. Sometimes He would be with them, and He would give them strength, and He would power, and He would dwell with them. But after Jesus Christ, after His sacrifice, after His redemption, the Holy Spirit doesn't just dwell with me, it dwells within me. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which was bought with a price. Therefore, I glorify God with my body. David had set up a tabernacle, and he knew that was the place that the Holy Spirit, or that the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant, was supposed to be in that temple, in that tabernacle. And he went there and he brought it back and he glorified and he celebrated and he proclaimed. He didn't care who he offended, all for the purpose of bringing that tabernacle or that ark and putting it where it belongs. If you are a Christian, then you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And if you are quenching that spirit, you are ignoring that spirit, you are walking away from that spirit, then that spirit is not in control of where it needs to be. David knew where the ark was supposed to be. It had a place. And in that place, it was there for all that wanted to be there. The Holy Spirit has a place. But I quench Him. I walk away from Him. I reject what He tells me to do. But when I'm going to surrender to Him and be in His presence, then He's going to fill the place He's supposed to be. So David took and put the ark in the place it was supposed to be. And man, he began to offer burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. He began to just, when he was in the presence of God, he began to celebrate and he began to worship and he began to offer sacrifices. When you and I find ourselves where we're supposed to be in the presence of God, you and I will begin to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, as our spiritual act of worship. But if I'm not in the presence of God, then probably what I have I'm not offering to God. David, he offered everything to God. He knew he was in the presence of God, and he began to worship, and he began to offer offerings. And look what happened. It says, and when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he ends up giving everybody bread and meat and a cake of raisins because he had been so blessed by being in the presence of God. He wanted to bless others. If I will get in the presence of God and my heart is right before Him, then He will give me opportunities to minister other people and to be able to allow His blessings to reach other people. I can't get over this, that distributed among all the people, among the whole multitude of Israel. He gave Israel, the people of Israel, were able to take bread and meat and a cake of raisins. That's a lot of raisins. How do you suppose David had all that? Because of the blessings of God. And when he gave what he was supposed to into the presence of God, God multiplied what he had and it reached other people. Sometimes I wonder, God, why am I not reaching people? Why am I not reaching people? I said, because you're not reaching out to me. You reach out to me and that will allow me to reach out through you to other people. But if you ever question why you're not reaching people, then there's the problem. Because it's not about you. If I reach to Him, He will reach to me and through me to other people. If I'm concerned about reaching other people, then I've left Him out of the equation. David was able, when he got his heart right, when he got the presence of God back where it needed to be in the tabernacle, he was able to worship and reach and bless other people. But you know, we got to be careful here, because as we read this, Michael says that she's disappointed in him. Says he was dancing before all these people. He says, no. He said, I was before the Lord. I wasn't dancing before the people. I wasn't singing for people to hear me. I wasn't offering so people could see that. I was this great king. I was dancing before the Lord. It was genuine. It had no reason to benefit anybody else. That was not why he was doing it. It was because he was genuine and everything he did was before the Lord. The going after the ark, the taking the six steps and then offering praise and celebrating and dancing and then proclaiming with trumpets and shouting and then coming back and then and setting it up in the tabernacle, all of that was so that he could dance before the Lord and he could worship before the Lord and he could offer before the Lord everything he was supposed to. And whoever gets the benefit, fine. My reason is not so that other people benefit. Don't get me wrong. It's not about you. I don't do this for you. You don't do this for somebody else. If I worship God because I want to be in His presence, that's the reason. I want to be there. Am I willing to go to Obed-Edom? Am I willing to bring him back? Am I willing to do all the things in my life, even though the Holy Spirit is with me and it dwells in me? Is my heart, is my attitude similar to that of David's? Is it all before God? Am I willing to put forth the effort? Am I willing to put aside those that are going to be offended? Am I going to seek the presence of the Lord? Am I going to take it back home and put it where it belongs in every day of my life? That's what I want. But I'm not there yet. As we close this morning, we look at what David did for the presence of God. He gave up control. He gave up whatever he thought or anybody else was going to think so that he could worship in the presence of his God. Are you willing to do that? Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we just come before you. Lord, we thank you so much for your presence being here. Lord, I just ask that you would just help me to see everything that I need to do, everything I need to say, to bring glory and honor to you this morning. Move in this place in such a mighty way. Amen.